Vanguard is working hard to balance opportunity and risk for investors in this time of volatile yields. We know financial advisors are working hard to do the same. Visit vanguard.com/fixed income today. Important information. All investing is subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Bond funds are subject to the risk that an issuer will fail to make payments on time and that bond prices will decline because of rising interest rates or negative perceptions of an issuer's ability to make payments. Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
This is Believe in Vikings. I am your host, Austin Baker. I'm here with Brian McKinney. Sally's off this week. I'm here with Allie Elise from Vikings Twitter. She's joining this show for the first time. And our old pal, Ron Saw, he's in the house tonight. We haven't spoke to you guys in a couple weeks. Tonight, we're going to talk about the aftermath of the NFL draft, what the group liked, what the group disliked about the event, and get into a little bit of the Za'Darius Smith trade. But yeah, we are about 4 weeks away from Vikings mandatory minicamp. So we will start to set that path by talking about the foils of the draft and some of the stuff that's upcoming vis-a-vis trade with Za'Darius or what happens to Dalvin Cook. Foremost, however, betonline.ag is your number one source for all of your basketball information, stats, news, and scores. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest player reports for this year's basketball playoffs. We're in the Eastern Conference and Western Conference Finals at the moment. BetOnline is always your sports information headquarters this season, as we have you covered for all of the wagering needs. Basketball, Major League Baseball, NHL, and UFC, with boxing as well. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to get your betting information, including live betting options and your favorite casino and card games you can play right from your home. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in all this action. Be sure to use the promo code BLEAV. Believe, BLEAV, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. We are back, and we are now a couple weeks removed from the draft, so we're going to get caught up on that foremost. In the first round, the Vikings added Jordan Addison. They had a very clear and evident defensive need, but they said the hell with it. We're going offense. We're getting rich as hell. Decadence is on the menu. So, Ron, I'm going to ask you first. Generally speaking, it doesn't have to be Addison, but I bet you mentioned him. What was something you liked about the Vikings 2023 NFL draft?
I mean, it seems like what I like is they clearly are going off of position versatility, whether that's with Addison and his ability to play outside or in the slot, or the D-backs they took, between Ward and Blackman. They're guys that can do multiple things. So to me, I think that's the biggest benefit, because in a Flores defense, I mean, what we've talked about, he does a lot of multiple fronts. Guys are going to have to do multiple things. So it seems like in two straight draft classes, they prioritize. There was a couple last draft class, I remember saying they took winning players from winning colleges, like who, you know, have that talent. And this year, it seems like it's that flexibility to be able to, you know, keep the scheme running. So I like that. And I think Addison, obviously, while I personally would have went with Porter Jr. just because of that need. It seems like we got the best player available at 23, and you can never be mad at that.
One thing, you know how you talked last year about the big school fascination with Kwesi? That didn't necessarily fade away, but what he did was kind of say the hell with the RAS athletic charts, and we're getting guys who have big resumes that played substantial amounts of games in college. So when the Mekhi Blackmon pick came through, there's a lot of folks that said, well, this guy could have been gotten the fourth, fifth, sixth round. But the Vikings, evidently, for this draft, I don't know if it's a trend for next year, we shall see. It was dudes who played a lot in college. And that's why Mekhi Blackmon might be able to dink around and play out of the gate, because the guy is 24 years old.
And it's, aside from guys who've played a lot, it's guys who've played multiple places. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, Addison with that Pittsburgh dominant there. And then, you know, with the transfer portal, goes over to UC, contributes right away. And, you know, and still dominated at that level. And I know Blackmon is the same thing, where he came from a different program and that transitioned well to USC. So maybe that eliminates a little bit of that learning curve. And again, I don't know if that's what they were going for, or they truly just have eyes for these type of guys. I know last year it was Caleb Evans that Kwesi said that he was up late at night watching film of. So he clearly falls in love with his guys and has no problem picking them when he feels the need to. So whether it's a reach or not, you'll never know until until 3-4 years down the line, when either they're playing up their level or not.
Bryant, so the Vikings had a defensive need on the depth chart, and they said, no thanks, we're getting what we think will be fantastic wide receiver. And you lived and played through a Vikings era that kind of did that same very thing, that said, you know what, we're doing this offensive program. So based on your, go ahead.
I don't know if you remember when we were discussing the draft, that I originally was like, well, we need to get some defense. But then I said, but then again, they just let go Thielen, so they may get a receiver. Mm-hmm. So I had kind of like pointed that out. Like, if we don't get defense, they're going to get a receiver. Even I thought we should have got defense, but yeah, they got a receiver to compliment. You know, for the lost departure of Thielen, I guess they want to get somebody that's kind of, you know, compliment Jefferson as well and keep the offense rolling. And then they'll go back and, you know, fix the defense and maybe even get some other guys, you know, and later on from like a free agency or whatever. But
yeah, and I'm pretty sure that if every single one of us would have been grown-ups during the 1998 draft, we would have said the same thing, that you guys should probably get defense. We don't need another wide receiver. So, like Ron said a few minutes ago, 3 or 4 years down the road, we'll know if this was worth the squeeze. But yeah, I think it's kind of a universal thought that, yeah, you guys need a defense. What are we doing? But nobody at the same time is flustered with Jordan Addison, because in theory, he should neutralize any defensive coordinator who sells out to stop Justin Jefferson. Because if you want to do that, great. We have our finest Jordan Addison to deliver to you. Allie, something we haven't covered, perhaps, that you enjoyed about the draft.
I thought they did well with what they had. I mean, we only had so many picks, and I love their quote of sticking to the plan. You know, that's really their first draft where those are their picks and not coming from anybody else. And so overall, I think it was an average to a good draft, you know, B to a B minus at worst. And I for what all needs we had, and then kind of the curveballs that were thrown, especially in the first round, it took some time to process, but I thought it was good. And frankly, with this Jordan Addison pick, I had mixed emotions at the beginning, where it was like, what did they just say? Oh, no, a wide receiver, are we sure? It was like this roller coaster of like, I'm happy, I'm disappointed, I'm neutral, and just kind of going with the flow. But I really like what I've been hearing about him so far, so I can't be mad.
Did any of you, while factoring during the draft or after the draft, did any of you consider TJ Hockenson part of the draft haul, or is that not the way we do things?
I was just going to say, I'm like, well, we nailed our second round pick. We know that. So,
yeah, I tried to keep it, I guess, in perspective on Twitter throughout all 3 days of the draft, making sure folks knew that, you know, we don't have this many picks. It's not because we're stupid and, you know, they gambled them away. It's because you have TJ Hockenson as your second round pick. And then Caleb Evans, because they bartered a fourth rounder last year. The thing that I enjoyed about this draft, in addition to what everybody has already said, is the trade back with the 49ers. They went and got a guy named J.R. Brown, who's a safety and good for them. I'm sure he'll be great. With that trade, the Vikings were able to stockpile picks and get Mekhi Blackmon, Jaren Hall, who has a puncher's chance of becoming quarterback of the future, and Dwayne McBride, who 5, 6, 7 years ago would have been a second or third round commodity if we cared about running backs. So my favorite part of that deal, even though customarily folks freaked out about what's he doing trading back, I wanted this blah, blah, blah guy. I enjoyed that trade because it looks like they have three dudes who we'll get to know on an intimate basis in Blackmon, Hall, and McBride.
One other thing to note on the draft class, the name that I'm ecstatic about, Andre Carter, the defensive end linebacker. Before the draft, I was talking about I'd be fine trading back and, you know, getting him in that second or third round range. Mm-hmm. So why he fell, I don't know. I don't know if it's because he's an Army product and typically whether those guys have been able to transfer or not, I don't know. But clearly, again, look at the plus sides of it. The Army product, obviously, he has the discipline, he has the work ethic. I mean, I'm generalizing there, but typically it's hard to find an Army grad who isn't high character or, you know, all that type of stuff. So, but for me, he's a 6'7", 260-pound, 270-pound-ish edge rusher to essentially replace Zadarius. But, you know, everything about him, he's a fluid athlete. The biggest knock on him that I saw was he might not be as bendy at the hips, but when you're that big, you know, if you have that athleticism, you know, all you need to do is set the edge and, you know, be able to disrupt the pocket. So I love that pickup. And then I'm hearing good things about the Cincinnati linebacker as well. While he's short, him and Asamoah are just essentially rocket missiles out there in the middle of the defense. So we'll see what happens.
After they netted Carter the second and then Ivan Pace, I had to go do my homework because I was trying to figure out why they went undrafted. And the consensus, the very tiny consensus I got about Carter was the size. And I was like, well, what are we talking about? He's 6'7 and 260. So I think that he might just like appear a little too basketball-ish or lanky for an edge rusher.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you know, I don't think 6'7 and 260 is going to be a disadvantage in terms of size. So it'll just be a matter, especially with Zadarius out of the way, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. The snaps, edge rusher snaps are wide the hell open for a guy like Carter if he wants to supplant DJ Wanham, for example. All right, well, let's do some of the deconstructive stuff, what we didn't enjoy in the draft, and I'll start. I do like that Jaren Hall is in the building because I look at so many statistics as part of a hobby and a curse of mine. I don't like that we're perhaps putting the Enterprise with a fifth-round pick because we'd love to uplift that Tom Brady was a sixth-round pick and is the GOAT, but he's like the only guy that has ever been drafted that late to become elite. The rest of them, you have to stretch for like Mark Brunell or undrafted guys like Tony Romo. But there's not a lot of precedent for a fifth round guy turning into something dazzling. So my wish list when we had this show right for the draft was that they would secure their quarterback of the future. And what I don't like is I have no idea if they consider Hall that or not. If he is, great. And when he starts, he'll be about 26, 27 years old and he better be ready. But right now, I don't enjoy not knowing if Hall was just a pick that, you know, throw him on the practice squad, or if they truly believe that he is the guy after Cousins. That's my only grievance. Allie, what is yours about this draft?
That was my number one.
Oh, the lack of quarterback?
That Jaren Hall, personally for me, is a meh pick at best. I mean, it's no third round Kellen Mond PTSD, and that's fine. But, you know, looking at the draft next year in the quarterback class, I don't see this for being the quarterback of the future. If I'm wrong, God bless. I hope so. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we have plenty of real estate. The other thing was we have plenty of real estate to go around in the backfield, but I just can't help but have this like feeling of inconsistency when you hear from Kwesi and KOC about like, don't count our picks out from last year, mostly referencing the corners. And yet they spent their, you know, third round on a corner, which we do need. We need the bodies back there. But I can't help but put a little bit of doubt in the back of my mind of like, you know, our guys, is Lewisine going to be ready? Is he going to be the player that he was before shattering his leg? So that just got me a little hesitant. And as much as I love Jordan Addison and I'm excited to see him, because all I've heard is like, he's the day one starter. He's like Stephon Diggs 2.0 minus character issues. It's just, maybe I'm being too picky, or it's like the former journalist in me. His introductory presser did nothing for me. It just left a lot to be desired, you know, for someone who wowed them in, you know, combine interviews. It just didn't feel like his answers were very well thought out, and they were just very short and just kind of gave me this weird thought. I was like, are you ready for this? And I'm sure he is, but it left a lot to be desired.
On your cornerback and secondary mentions there, one thing I had thought about today, actually on a different show, was if Andrew Booth and Caleb Evans are fantastic and the Vikings are right, good. But that doesn't mean that they're less injury prone. And that was the knock on them, Evans especially, is that, you know, concussions are not an injury to dink around with. And then Booth, A, looked horrible when he played, and then B, was hurt like two or three times. So even if everybody's right in the front office, nobody can say like, all right, they're healed up for good and they're not going to be, you know, hurt. So I'm with you there that it feels like there's leaving a lot to chance in the cornerback room. Thankfully, now they've got like 10, 11 bodies, so perhaps they can develop one of them. Ron, what was one of your beefs, if at all, with the draft?
Well, before I get on my beef, like I'll touch on the cornerback part, because for one, you throw enough darts at it, like some of them are bound to stick. So that's where I'm always happy with, you know, if you like for positions like that where you know there's a big rotation, just throw darts at it. Like, that's how we ended up with Danielle Hunter and, you know, mm-hmm. Brian Robinson before that. Like it's continuously, those guys will all see the field. It's not an offensive line where that you expect them to play every single snap. So, and then also I think Blackman, he has the versatility to play in the slot, which, you know me, I wasn't a big fan of Cameron Sullivan last year. Like he was allergic to contact, you know, and whatever. I wish him nothing but the best. But, you know, I think that's a big spot. Byron Murphy's a starter. And then the other guys, just like you said, whoever's healthy. And then, you know, Al, your point with the quarterback, like I'm with you. I don't think Jaren Hall's a quarterback of the future. I think he could be a high-end backup and spot starter, you know, a la Nick Mullins, that type of thing. Also, I can't say I'm a BYU versed in watching college football. So all the highlight clips, which anyone can put out a highlight clip and make it look great. He's got a cannon of an arm and he's got a quick release. So those things are intriguing and he has mobility. So I think the knocks on him were his age and his size. So again, you know, like I've said numerous times, take a stab at a quarterback in, you know, third through fifth round every single year until you find it. I don't care. Like it's worth the shot, worth the gamble. Again, one dart's bound to hit. But yeah, I also really like that quarterback class next year. And the fact that they were in talks about moving up if Bryce Young started to fall, that makes me really, you know, intrigued for next year, because if it's Caleb Williams or Drake May, I'm all on board. So, but as far as my beef, it's there were a couple things that where you look at and like you see someone start to fall, like, and Howie Roseman in Philly's getting a lot of credit because he's snatching up these guys that everyone's passing on. Well, it's like, well, he didn't do anything. They just fell to him. Like, blame the other GMs for not drafting Jalen Carter or Nolan Smith. It's, he didn't do anything. He took the best guy available. So there were times though where you see a name that's starting to fall, or you know, whether that's Ringo, the Georgia cornerback, or something like that, where you kind of wonder, like, what are they not seeing in these guys that, you know, clearly, you know, everyone else, like, you know, or granted, all these other teams are passing on them as well. So mm-hmm. But I'm not scouting. I don't, you know, claim to know any of that. So, I mean, you know, like Ali said, I like what they did with what they had. You know, when your cupboards are a little limited, you can't maneuver the way you want. It does sound like that they were not aggressively shopping 23, but teams were calling for it. I know Kincaid, it sounds like, was the target for a lot of teams. And when, so the fact that they stood pat and they selected Addison, I know what people are thinking, like, well, no one wanted to accept an offer, so we're stuck with Addison. So I guess if I only have one beef on it, it's that my only concern with Addison, I think he's going to be a stud, is he too much of an alpha to fit alongside Justin Jefferson? That's my only concern, because we don't need another alpha. Jefferson's going to go out and get his 1,800 yards. Is Addison going to be mad if targets aren't coming his way?
Bryant, so we discussed on our show a few times about the possibility of drafting a quarterback somewhat early, because Kirk Cousins will be 35 when the season rolls around. Did the Vikings miss an opportunity to draft a first or second rounder, or doesn't it really matter that it's a fifth round guy?
It doesn't matter that it's a fifth round guy, and then also depend on how the season pans out. Mm-hmm. Maybe next year they may go for a first round, you know, quarterback too. And so it gives them opportunity to see, you know, where the guy stands, you know, this season, the fifth round guy, and see, you know, what his potential looks like. So I don't think it's a bad thing. And it gives him a year to be behind Kirk and kind of learn from him. But I kind of figured that they would try to fill that void with Thielen, though, and bring somebody in fresh. I want to know, how did things work out when you had both Moss and Carter here? How was that?
Well, you know.
From my recollection, it was like, I think, it, like, right on draft day, because Moss, like, everyone saw the highlight videos. I don't think anyone was upset about it at all. I was, 12, 13, but I still follow football a lot. It was the whole three deep was the big thing. So it was, I couldn't tell you any bodies on the defense outside of John Randall. And at that time, maybe if Robert Griffith was here, those type of guys, but I think everyone was excited. Randall Cunningham's like, coming in.
Both receivers were still able to kind of make big numbers of him, right?
Yeah. And Carter was, at the time, you know, he's one of the top in the league. And I don't think Jake Reed ever had an ego about it. Like, he handled it like a consummate pro. And then when he was gone, then Matthew Hatchett came in, and kind of same thing. He handled everything like a pro. And Randy Moss, like, he didn't command a ton of targets. He made the most of everything. Right. He'd go 3 for 143 and 3. whereas Carter was the guy that would get everything underneath. And, those defenses, I know, gave up a lot of points. So we threw the ball a lot. And obviously Robert Smith in the backfield was still a beast. So I don't really, and granted, social media is not like it is today, or even media. So who knows? Maybe there were some problems behind the scenes on other guys. But, I know Chris Walsh, I don't know how long he played, but he made plays when his number was called. And the turmoil didn't seem to be as evident, but again, there was no spotlight on it.
I think
then.
It's different too because of the age difference between the two. You know, Addison and Justin are
passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Vanguard is working hard to balance opportunity and risk for investors in this time of volatile yields. We know financial advisors are working hard to do the same. Visit vanguard.com/fixed income today. Important information. All investing is subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Bond funds are subject to the risk that an issuer will fail to make payments on time and that bond prices will decline because of rising interest rates or negative perceptions of an issuer's ability to make payments. Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Closer in age, and we've heard Carter talk about the fact that he kind of knew what Moss was going to be. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming, I mean, I was a little young at the time, but I'm assuming Chris went into it with kind of the mindset of, you know, a mentor-mentee situation where mm-hmm. these two are going to be more on the even playing field in terms of age and stage.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of it.
I have no problem with Addison. I just have the alpha personality. Like, I'm all for that, especially at that wide receiver and cornerback position. It's the, are you going to be a diva about it because the ball's not coming your way? Or
I don't think his first year he has room to be a diva. I think his first year he's definitely going to probably try to learn and learn from Jefferson. I'm pretty sure he looks up to Jefferson. So, like, happy to be there, learn from him, and still play at a high level, like, not to let him down. But I don't think he can come in right away and be a diva.
Right, and I think the transition that he had from Pittsburgh, where he led the nation in receiving, was dominant, and then went to USC, where not that he wasn't the top guy, but Jerry Rice's son was on that team. Like, they have a bunch of other guys where Caleb Williams obviously spread the ball around, and so he was able to kind of go from everything is, you know, I'm number one on the team to try to learn with that. So now it's just the next step in that evolution of his game where, you know, it's, you can't argue. Like, if he comes in and says I'm better than Justin Jefferson and proves it, I don't think anyone's going to be mad. Like, then if we give, you give me number one wide receiver one and two, I could be back to 98 all over again. So it's all about the attitude. I want him to have the attitude to dominate, but I also want to see him celebrating if, you know, if tight end number two Josh Oliver catches a touchdown, something like that.
Allie, you're absolutely correct. Chris Carter was 33 and Moss was 21. So it really was big brother and little brother. Yeah. Yep. It was a huge difference in terms of the vibe. But that's the beauty of Addison and Jefferson. Since they're 2 years apart, in theory, they can be the duo for the next 5 years. And that was part of the reason they pounced on him instead of a defensive player. All right. Here's what I want to ask. I want to ask you, Allie, about Za'Darius Smith. On March 9th, out of nowhere, he tweeted goodbye to Minnesota. Skull baby, thank you. We'll see you. See you when we see you. And then nothing happened. He wasn't traded. He wasn't released. He hung out and some of his money guaranteed against the cap. 64 days later, they traded him to the Cleveland Browns for a couple pick swaps. And now Za'Darius is gone. This caused some ruckus for some folks. They were like, this was a Pro Bowl edge rusher. What are we doing getting this 2 5th rounders for him? And for me, for 2 months, it was a foregone conclusion that he was gone. So it surprised me to see folks upset that he would be traded. Where did you land on, I guess, the trade return or the trade itself?
I don't know why you picked me first to talk about that. No, I was bummed. I was absolutely bummed because I loved Z though when he actually played. But I was not surprised at all. Like you said, when he posted that, and that was goodbye right then and there. But I loved his quality of character when he was on the field. I loved that he had such good rapport with Daniil. Mm-hmm. You know, because and Ev was my absolute favorite for always will be. I got his jersey hanging up. And when he left, I felt like Daniil was really missing his sidekick. And that's why I was so excited to see Z come in and help fill that role and them doing their celebrations together. And now with Kendrick's gone, it just seems like Daniil has one less player reason, you know, buddy to stay until retirement. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't surprised. I was bummed. I did the goodbye, my lover gif on Twitter, but you know, it is what it is. He clearly did not want to be here. Looking at compensation, I was originally disappointed with the picks that they got, but then when they went into more of like explaining where, you know, how it's going to help the cap, it was fine. It needed to be done, and you know, sad to see him go, but there wasn't another option.
Ron, if Za'Darius had not tweeted goodbye on March 9th and the Vikings did not sign Marcus Davenport, this would be one of the dumbest trades that you could ever read. But neither one of those was true. Za'Darius, whether it was money, I'm guessing it had to be money because he, like Ali said, seemed to love it with Daniil and love the team for a while anyhow. Either that or he got word that they were signing Marcus Davenport. I don't think that would make him freak out. Something turned him off to high heavens. He said, I'm not playing here no more. So to me, I was like, well, that sucks. He's going to have to go somewhere because he ain't playing. And so they salvaged 2 5th rounders for a 6th and a 7th. Where did you land on the trade, Ron?
I mean, yeah, it didn't come as a surprise. It was, you know, a few months of, you know, between him and then the impending, you know, Dalvin Cook situation of, we know in all likelihood these guys aren't back, whether, you know, Za'Darius Smith all of a sudden didn't want to be here. So, all right, like, you know, you want to do passive aggressiveness, or I guess not passive about it. Just, you know, I'm gone. Like, well, you're under contract. So, you know, it's, you don't have any leverage in the situation. So whether it's wanting to renegotiate your deal or whatnot, like, I get it. It was a team friendly deal, and I'm all for athletes making all the money that they can while they can, because you're your own asset. But there's also kind of a way to handle things, you know, look at Adam Thielen. Like, no one was happy to see him go, but I don't think anyone was disappointed in him because they understand it. You're not making $19 million, but there's a way, you know, you go and you get your $16 million 2 year deal or whatever. So good for him. But and maybe it's because he's the homegrown kid, and the ties aren't there to Za'Darius in that regard. But yeah, you sign Marcus Davenport, you know, like, especially at 11, 12 million, whatever it is, you know, they're not employing 3 edge rushers making, you know, $35 million. This is not happening. So it would have been nice to see him in a Flores defense, because I think he could be that 3 technique and kind of pressure packages, but I guess we'll never know what happens. And Davenport, you know, I'm happy with him.
Bryant, another trade or release that could be on the horizon is Dalvin Cook. He's scheduled to have a $14 million cap hit against the Vikings books, and it seems like they have too many running backs now to keep him. So the writing seems on the wall that he's going to be gone, but it's been that way now for like 2.5 months. So my question to you from your playing days, the Vikings have said, or at least we think they have said, that the Vikings want to do right by him, which means they want him to land somewhere where he wants to go. So what does that mean? If a player knows that he's probably not going to play for a team anymore, but the team is willing to work with him, are they talking to his agent saying, you know,
probably talk to his agent and saying places that he probably feels comfortable of going, and them trying to reach out to those places. That actually low-key happened to me in Baltimore when it was time for me to go. And it was like, okay, well, I'll just go back to Miami because I know they need an offensive line. So there's places where they probably know they need a running back.
Okay.
Where he can fill in and, you know, be very, very productive. And they're probably sharing that with the organization, and they're trying to work out a deal on probably how to get him traded, because they feel like he's been a good, you know, guy for the organization. And so they want to see him all well. They don't want to do him, you know, any kind of way.
So in Baltimore, did they tell you that they had like a different tackle they were leaning towards, and they said, what would you like us to do?
No, I didn't know. My meniscus was torn. I found out when I got there. When I got to Miami, Miami was shocked because nobody told them prior.
Yeah.
So I was having issues with my knee, and they had brought in, I forget his name, from Jacksonville. And then we started like splitting time, but then I was like having issues with my knee.
Okay.
And then I knew I could sense it. So I said something to Ozzie, and Ozzie was just like, all right, B, just work with me. I'm going to get it done. But I also knew with Miami, the Dolphins needed too. I knew they were struggling at left tackle, and fans were DMing me and hitting me up, you know, about coming there.
It works.
And you know what's funny is I responded to a fan, and he took what I said and like posted it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So I've seen that.
And he asked me a question. I said, I wouldn't mind coming back. I didn't. So he posted it. And then so I was like, oh, he's going to tell me later. I'm like, see, it worked. I'm like, yeah, but then wanted to be like that. But yeah, so it ended up, you know, ended up happening. So yeah, they'll try to, like, you know, look out.
Okay, so you went to Ozzie Newsome and said,
if we're going to trade me, can we try to get me to mine?
Oh,
because
okay,
they're in need of a tackle. I already have a house there, so perfect.
Okay. Well, that's cool to know that those.
Work with me, and then he got it done.
That's cool to know that the good guys in the front offices will work with, you know, stand-up guys like yourself. And I'm guessing that's precisely, this is just a guess, what's happening with Dalvin Cook.
I can picture that. See that his agent is facilitating, you know, where he should land or where they would like to see him go, to give him the best chance of, you know, playing at a high level and getting on the field.
Okay. All right, last question. I won't start with Allie this time because she was a little miffed that I started with her, so I'm going to go around the horn and start with Ron. All right, I've been wanting to ask this question on this show, even a text message to you guys because I'm really impatient, about 2 months. But now is a fair time to ask it. We have a free agency class in the books. They should soon have about probably $20 million to play around with summer free agents, but all the big names are gone. We have a draft class, 6 new men. We have 15 to 17 undrafted free agents that have come in through the front door. Ron, I'm going to ask you, you still have to see minicamp, training camp, preseason. But right now, what is your expectation for the Vikings? They finished 13-4, got embarrassed at home in the playoffs. Going into, and this probably won't change too much, I know you too well. What do you think right now? What's your expectation of the 2023 Vikings?
My expectation is still win the division. All this hype revolving the Lions, like everything that they're praising them for is everything that they knocked the Vikings for. Like they never criticized Jared Goff as a quarterback, yet all they do is criticize Cousins when Cousins is 1,000 times the player that Goff is. Their defense, while yes, they've improved, they still were right there with the Vikings as far as how bad they were last year. And we made improvements as well. So it's, again, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have won this division more recently than Detroit Lions have. And until that changes, I will never understand it. Yes, Dan Campbell is also, he gets the team ready to play. He was on the hot seat middle of the season last year. Like all of a sudden now his players are playing well and they have talent. Keep your guys from gambling in the facility. apparently, can't even do that. So all this hype around the Lions is, I can't wait to see. I don't know what I'm more excited for, to see them fall on their face or the Bears and Justin Fields fall on his face. Because, man, and you see all these rankings coming out. Who in the hell is it? Whoever's putting Justin Fields as a top 7 quarterback in the NFL, not fantasy. We're talking the NFL. They need to have any media credentials just revoked. I'm not saying he can't get there someday, but yeah, it literally, like, it took, how long did it take Jalen Hurts to get respect as a top 7 quarterback? It took him probably about 9-10 games into the year of him playing at that level before everyone's like, hey, he might actually be there. Whereas Justin Fields hasn't done anything and he is, like, I don't get it. Like, so until I'm not saying we're going to go out and we're going to win 13 games, 14 games, but the division is very attainable. We have the best quarterback in the division, the best offense. Like, we had the best offense last year in the division, and we got better. Like, we added a first round pick at wide receiver. Even if you lose Dalvin, you still have guys there that can play. Offensive line continuity. This is the first time since Brian, your playing days, where we're returning the 5 starters up front. I know you've talked about it, but having that cohesiveness, that alone is an improvement. You're not shuffling guys around. And also, Kirk's going into his second year with this offense. He hasn't been able to say that his entire career. Like, anywhere he's been, new offensive coordinator every single time. So, again, but let's all blow smoke up Jared Goff and Dan Campbell's ass and see, how that watch when their Thanksgiving game is half empty like it usually is.
That was one of the best speeches the show's ever had. And
that gambling.
If Bleav goes back to doing that thing where they take snippets, I hope they get that gambling line, because that was delivered.
I'm all for gambling, but know where you can and can't do it.
All right. So where I'm at right now is I do.
Wait, the funny thing is that I do got to. Did you hear what it was that got Jameson Williams suspended? And I love it because it's, I think it's hilarious. He was betting on women's tennis parlays.
Really?
So I don't know what event was going on like, or what, but that's what that's, got him.
That's deep into it.
That's, oh yeah. That's more degenerate than me.
It's weird that he would get popped on something like, speaking of getting popped for things, this is a little bit of a tangent. Now, I fully understand that it's not a good look for Ja Morant to have a gun when he's been warned. But why is he like the one person in the United States that can't have a gun? Like, I don't quite get it. I know the NBA.
With him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I get it. Like, it is dumb because, yeah, you see people posting their Christmas card photos with their 4-year-olds holding a gun and whatnot. But I think it just stems from when he was at the club on a road trip and he had the gun. So I think that was the red flag. And now it's, well, we're going to try to hide this under the rug that you're saying it's not your gun and whatever. So let's just not have another, let's not do it again. And then, you know,
but generally speaking in this country, and I don't agree with the gun happiness all over the place, but who cares if he has a gun?
Yeah. If it's legal and he's in his own car, in a buddy's car, whatever, private property, it shouldn't matter. I think it just stems from the image problem of, yeah, hey, you're at a club in Denver. And how did you get that gun there? If it is yours, when you can't have a gun on a team plane or in a team facility or anything like that, I think that's the problem. Otherwise, and keep in mind, this is coming off of that month span where it was known that he assaulted a teenager at his house and flashed his gun at him and then got into it with security guard. So I think it's just the image problem with him. And then, dude, really? You can't just have your gun all you want. Just don't put it on
television. Right. Yeah, no, it's silly no matter how you break it down. But I mean, I kept thinking, like, if this was JJ Watt, we'd be like, guy has guns, this is sweet. And so I don't understand why Ja Morant seems like the one guy in America that gets really criticized for owning a gun. And again, I'm not like a big gun guy. I haven't quite understood why it's a notification to my phone that, oh no, Ja Morant has a gun. There's a lot of people be like, hell yeah, baby, he should have 7 of them in the picture. But anyhow. All right, so where I'm at,
it's
with
also
the
getting deeper into our, you know, Ja Morant believe segment. It probably stems from the whole 8 Mile, like, you know, diss at the end where, you know, he went to a private school. He came from, you know, parents whose parents are still, like, that whole thing. I don't know if you've seen that on social media where they take the clip from Eminem.
No, I haven't.
Oh, you got to see it. It's great. It's, you know, in the rap battle scene with Eminem and Papa Doc where, oh, this is Clarence. He went to a private school, and like, they're just showing, well, Ja Morant went to a private school and his, and all the, I think it's the image he's portraying as, like, and anyone who knows him or whatever, like, he's not hard. He's not from the streets. He's not a thug. Like, why are you portraying that image when you have $231 million coming your way?
You saw it too, Brian?
Yeah.
I seen that on Instagram. Yeah. Oh,
okay. It's just, that's the cleverness of the internet is what that is.
All right. On the Vikings, where I'm at right now is the expectation that the Vikings, I think they'll win the division again, but I think it will be more grimy and grinded out because the schedule is brutality compared to last year, because no matter how you dice it, you face the Chiefs, the Eagles, the 49ers and Bengals. And in most people's power rankings, those teams are in the top 5. Even if the Vikings are great, this is like having 4 Bills games that we at this time last year were looking at. Oh, Jesus, we're going to Buffalo. How are we going to win that? Well, they did. So I don't think we'll have any. We won't lament any one score wins this year, because if they get them against the Chiefs, Bengals, Eagles, we're going to be like, oh, sweet, we won by 4 points. Great, we'll take it. Last year, we win by 3, and people will be like, why can't we win by 33? So I think no matter how they win this year, they had a good on-the-job training last year for figuring out how to be situational masters. So I have them pegged right now 10-7, 11-6. I have to see how the summer goes before I decide on that. But I also don't think the Packers should be left for dead. I think Jordan Love will end up being pretty good, perhaps with like a Dak Prescott like ceiling, hopefully not a Hall of Fame damn thing. But I think that everybody has just said that, well, the Packers don't have Rodgers, so they suck. And we should know by now that the Packers rarely just flat out suck. So I'm not writing the obituary. I wish I was. Allie, what do you got for expectation? You don't have to put a win loss record on it, but what are you thinking?
All right. Well, I tweeted out 12-5 division winners, and I'm going to stick by that. I think you're right. Like, I'm never going to count out the Packers. You know, life's too cruel not to, you know. But at the same time, you know, I'm with Ron. Like, Lions are gonna lion. They have to lion at some point. So, you know, I still expect to win the division. But Justin, I think you make a really good point of, you know, how we were lamenting last year about how we can barely win these one score games. But, you know, as a fan and knowing the rest of Vikings Twitter, other than those five games, you know, Eagles, Chiefs, 49ers, the top five, the rest of those, I can see fans being pissy that we're not winning by 33, you know, plus or whatever, other than those. So I think it'll be tough, but our offense got better. We had the worst defense in the division. We had one of the worst defenses in the league, mm-hmm. and we still won the division. So I think we defend the North. I'm hoping 12-5, but I think we take the title again.
Yeah, Brian Flores, if you're listening, we need you on that defense, good sir. Speaking of those blowout games, the Vikings haven't beat anybody by 17 or more points since 2019. We're going on 4 years, and that was the Chargers game where Ifeanyi Adembo scored a defensive touchdown. We beat the shit out of the Chargers 39-10 in that stadium that had like no fans in it. Bryant, take us off the show. What is your expectation right now? Still got a summer to go for the 2023 Vikings.
I don't know, because I looked at their schedule and I feel like they had a tough schedule. Really tough. And I hear you say, like, if they win these games by 2 or 3 points, I mean, this is the season where I would be happy if some of these games they just won by 2 or 3 points. You have to give me more time with this, because when I seen the schedule, I was like, this is a tough schedule.
Okay.
Yeah, so give me more time to think.
Yeah, we'll come back to you. Yeah, I'll come back to you probably maybe around training camp, and we'll probably all visit this again. The thing that I said about the schedule as soon as I saw it was we knew the opponents were going to be no matter what. And so we knew the schedule wasn't going to be fun, but the order in which it was constructed, it almost felt like one of us made it. Like there's an advantageous flow to it where, you know, you get the Bucs out of the gate, who are a decent football team. I think we automatically assume the Bucs suck. Well, no, they really don't. They just don't have Tom Brady. It's the only thing they're missing. It's just a big deal. And then I just really like the end because it's shaping up. If the Lions actually are decent, we're finally going to have a Week 18 game, especially, that means something. It's been like 7 years since that happened. And you get the Lions, Packers, and Lions. So if you want it, go get it at the end of the season. And the rest of it, it's kind of weird. Last year, we looked at the murderer's row of the schedule was Dallas, Buffalo, New England, and then the Jets got good for a little bit. Well, that exact murderer's row is now the mushy part of the schedule this year in November, when you should stack some wins against the Falcons. I can't remember who else is right in the middle of off the top of my head, but it's really kind of it flips out of the gate this year. The Vikings will be lucky to be 3-3 by the start of week 7. As weird as that is to say, is because Brian's talking about it. It's murder. It really is not an easy schedule when you're staring at the Chargers in week 3 and the Chiefs are in October. So they have to get out to at least a hot start to beat the Bucks. Then, you know, don't look like fools against the Eagles, and then maybe get to 3-3, maybe 4-2 if they're that good. Before you hit week 7 or so. All right, Allie, thank you for joining us. You were a more than adequate Sally substitute. You're welcome anytime. Ron, let's see. I think next week we'll be back. We can start to get into some of these roster camp battles. And then, Ryan, sir, what do you got on tap this week? You going anywhere cool?
I'm actually in Atlanta still. I go back on Saturday.
Okay.
I came out here actually last week. We had a meeting with Comcast for my company, Let's Chat. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right, group. We'll talk to you
at that Atlanta game.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Vikings Atlanta game, November 6th.
I know you spent a lot of time in Atlanta.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you next Wednesday night.
Thanks.
Later.
Okay.
Continue.
At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.